Well, good morning, everybody. It's always a real privilege for me to be able to be here at Kings Park and to have the opportunity to share. Some of you know that 7 weeks ago, I actually had shoulder surgery, and it took me a month to even feel close to normal again. And the first two opportunities I've had to actually teach and minister has been with KPR and KPIC. I worked with the women's retreat a couple of weeks ago, which was awesome. And then Pastor Taylor said, "Well, could you possibly fill in for me this Sunday?" And I said, "Wow, that would be a great honor." So I just want to thank KPR for inviting me to speak this morning. Thank you, David and Jane and Laron. So this morning I want to share, and Will's gonna put up the PowerPoint in a second. This morning I want to share on the topic of prayer. And this is a topic that, you know, we hear a lot about as believers. And I don't know, you know, what kind of teaching you've had about prayer. But recently, just last weekend, I had my family, my two sisters, one lives in California, one lives in Texas, and they were here visiting to celebrate Mother's Day with my mom. It's rare that we're all together. And one of my sisters is an agnostic and is not sure that there is a God at all. And so she doesn't believe in prayer. And then the other sister was very wounded by a church experience, and so she has become much more skeptical about prayer. And so we were having a conversation one night and around the dinner table, and they started talking about prayer. And one sister said, "Well, I think prayer is just for us personally. It just encourages us." And the other sister says, "Well, I don't believe in it at all." And my mother says, "Well, Camille, what do you have to say?" I said, "Well, Jesus told us to pray, and I believe that prayer works." And then I gave a practical example about something that had happened in our family and how I had prayed. And they both of my sisters kind of just looked at me and didn't say anything. And it reminded me that many people have different perspectives of prayer. And as you are out and about in your studies or your workplace, wherever you are, you know, spending your time, you are surrounded by people that have very different opinions about prayer. I don't know if you've realized that or you've noticed that, but it's true. I go to a writer's group on a regular basis where some people are Christians and some are not. And anytime anything comes up about spirituality or prayer, oh my goodness, the diversity of opinion in the room is to me, I come home and I'm like, I'm shocked. And so I was in the doctor's office the other day, and I picked up a magazine while I was waiting. And for those of you that are old enough, this is the AARP magazine, you know. And the title of the article, I tore it out of the magazine because I thought, this is my prayer focus, so I'm going to borrow it. I'm going to take it. I didn't borrow it. It says, and this was in the magazine, the title of the article was "The Paradox of Prayer." The Paradox of Prayer. And listen to what, and this guy who wrote the article actually is a believer, and he lost his wife to cancer a few years ago. And so he's writing about prayer in this totally secular magazine. And this is the question he asked. He said, "Why do we keep gazing heavenward more than ever as we grow older, even when no answers are in sight?" That was his tagline. Why do we keep looking up to heaven even more often than ever as we grow older when there are no answers in sight? And then he said this, "It is this paradox of prayer, the belief that there is power in prayer that seems to sail off into some cosmic dead file that comforts and confounds believers and skeptics alike." Thought-provoking. So when I was preparing for the message this morning, I thought, I'm not going to talk about the paradox of prayer. I'm going to talk about the privilege of prayer. Because as believers, yes, there is often paradox because sometimes our prayers are answered quickly. Sometimes they're not answered at all in the way that we expect. Sometimes we have to wait a long time to get those answers. Sometimes it's confusing. How many of you would agree that, you know what, sometimes prayer is confusing? Or sometimes the way that God answers prayer is not what I would have anticipated. Anybody? Okay. I think a lot of time, if we're honest, we can admit that many times it feels like a paradox to us. And how many times have we prayed and we're like, Lord, I feel like it's bouncing back. And then other times we pray and we're like, man, I know he's going to answer that one. So we all have our testimonies to answer prayer, and we also have our questions about prayer. So what I'd like for you to do is I'd like you to take your bulletin, the little handout you got when you came into church this morning, and I'd like you to turn it over to the back where it's blank. And I'd like you to take a minute, and I want you to write down your most challenging prayer need or your most challenging prayer right now in your life. Your most challenging prayer. Make it one of the hardest, one of the most impossible situations that you have right now going on in your life. Write down your most challenging prayer right now on the back of that bulletin. Everybody just take a minute to do that. It might be something you've prayed for years and you still haven't seen the answer. It might be something that is extra urgent for you right now. It could be illness. It could be loss of a job. It could be prayer for a family member or a friend. It could be something that's really agonizing to you. Most likely it is. If it's your most challenging prayer need, it's agonizing to you because you want to see the Lord answer your prayer. So think about it and write it down. Well, we're going to look at one of the things I want us to reflect on as we, so just hold that before the Lord. We're going to actually do something with that later on in the service, what you wrote down, but hold that before the Lord. We're going to look at, you know, what kinds of prayers do we actually see in the Bible? Will, if you could go to the next slide. What kind of prayers do we actually see in the Bible? So what would you say? I just want to get some answers from you. When you think about all the prayers you read about in the Scripture, all the many examples of prayer from the Old Testament all the way to Revelation, what are some of the things you see people pray for in the Bible? Just speak it out loud. The Lord's Prayer, revival, health, protection, pardon? Victory over enemies. What else? Healing, absolutely. Blessing. Mm-hmm. Pardon? To forgive. Prayers to forgive, absolutely. Guidance. Yep. Grace. Pardon? Boldness, absolutely. Peace. Absolutely. I just wrote a list when I looked at some of the things yesterday in the Scriptures. The next slide, the next two slides are just some of the things I looked at in the Scriptures for some of the examples of prayer. Will, can you go to the next slide for me? First, well, one of the ones we're going to look at this morning is, you know, there are a lot of prayers in the Bible for people that couldn't have children. There are a lot of prayers for barrenness in Scripture. There's prayer for gratitude. There are prayers for deliverance, wisdom, justice, forgiveness, protection, mercy. Then it goes on. There are prayers for healing, for revelation, to understand, for salvation, for peace, for discernment, for knowledge, for guidance, for unity, for maturity. Keep going. And Jesus, you know, taught his disciples in Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, which is, you know, one of the ones that I learned as a little girl. Oh, Father in heaven, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. In other words, provision. Give us the provision we need for today. And forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So there are lots and lots of prayers in the scripture for lots of different things. One of the prayers I want us to look at this morning is a prayer by a lady named Hannah in 1 Samuel. And if you'll go to the next slide, we're looking at prayer is, and I'm going to give you several different points this morning about prayer. And then afterwards, we'll have a look at some scriptures. So the first point is prayer is relational. Prayer is basically communication. It's communication between us and God. And prayer is an act of faith that God cares for us. We sang about it this morning in worship. God loves us. He's for us. He fights for us. He's better than everything in life. He's with us. We're not alone. He's relational. As Laron said, you know, he came down and he made himself real to us. Not only did he come down and die for us and was resurrected, but this past week was Ascension Day. Jesus also rose and went back to heaven, and he's at the right hand of the Father. And what is he doing for us at the right hand of the Father? He's interceding for us, which means he's praying for us. Prayer is relational. And so when we come to God in prayer, we come in faith that God loves us. God wants to have a relationship with us, and that relationship is built through prayer. And so when we look at, you go to the next slide, Will, we look at Hannah's prayer, and this is in 1 Samuel, and this is an interesting situation. Hannah was married to a man who had two wives. And as we often have seen in Scripture, one wife could have children and the other wife couldn't. And this is a good reason why you shouldn't have two wives, because there's a lot of jealousy. And so you see this often in Scripture where people that had more than one wife in the Old Testament, they had lots of problems. Because one wife would have a baby and the other wife was like, I can't have children, you know, and that would make her jealous and she'd be angry. And this poor woman, the other wife would taunt her all the time about the fact she didn't have any kids, she didn't have any kids, she didn't have any kids. And in the culture of that time, not to have children was very shameful. To not be able to bear a child would have made her feel like practically nothing. And so one day, Hannah goes to the temple with her husband, and the Bible says she's deeply distressed, and she prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she was troubled in spirit, and she poured out her soul to the Lord. And the priest, who was Eli, because Hannah was actually not mouthing, he didn't hear her. He just saw her, like, you know, with her mouth moving. He thought she was drunk. And Eli said, what are you coming to the temple drunk for? And she said, I'm not drunk. I'm troubled. I'm distressed. I'm here to pour out my soul to the Lord. And so then Eli said something to her. This is really amazing. Eli said to her, he said, go to the next slide, Will. I'll show you what she prayed for. Hannah said, O Lord of hosts, if you will look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget me, but will give your servant a son, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor will never touch his head. And the priest said to her, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. And they went back home, and she became pregnant. And she had a son, and she named him Samuel. And as you know, if you know the story, she actually, after she weaned Samuel, she took him to the temple and gave him to the ministry of the Lord. And then the Lord blessed her with 5 more children. So here's Hannah, who's a woman who is distressed. I mean, we're not talking about a little bless me prayer. You know what I'm talking about? You know, we're not talking about, oh, Lord, you know, it'd be kind of nice, you know, if I had a baby, you know. No, this is a woman who really wants a child, and she's so distressed, and she's before the Lord, and she is pouring out her soul to God, saying, God, remember me. God, help me. Lord, if you will just give me a son, I will dedicate him to you for the rest of my life. This is someone who's literally laying her life out in prayer. You know, this is an amazing example of prayer, the kind of prayer that comes out of deep distress. How many of you have prayed a prayer like that before? I'm telling you, one time, I have a nephew, and probably 12 years ago, he became a crack addict. He was on the streets, and I was scared to death he was going to die because of his lifestyle and because he was at great risk. And I remember going into a church and in Europe, and they had an opportunity to light a candle and pray for somebody, and I did that. And another time, I was in a ministry situation, and I literally laid down on the floor over a cross, and I began to weep for my nephew, and I cried for 2 hours. Now, that's not coming out of my own self. That is really God moving upon us, and we let him pour out through us. And I just cried and wept and said, God, please intervene on the life of my nephew. 2 months later, he woke up under a bridge and said to himself, I don't want to live like this anymore. And he got up and he stopped taking crack cocaine, which is a miracle. He stopped on his own. And he walked away from that lifestyle. He went to college. He's got a job. He still needs a lot of prayer. He's not a believer. He doesn't even acknowledge that God helped him. But I know God helped him because I know that I poured out my soul to the Lord and God miraculously answered my prayer. That's the kind of prayer we're talking about, folks. And then we look at the life of David. And I love it that Jane mentioned David this morning, and she didn't even know I was going to talk about him. But David went through so many trials. Many of the Psalms that David wrote are prayers that came out of when God delivered him. God delivered him from Saul. God delivered him from the Philistines. God delivered him when he pretended he was insane. God helped him. God strengthened him. Many of his prayers came out of the worst times of his life. It's just saturated with it. And so one of his prayers, the prayer in Psalm 130, this prayer says, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. Folks, again, that's a prayer where it's not just a little, there's passion to it. There is a sense of, God, if you don't help me, I don't know where I'm going to go. Lord, hear my cry. I cry to you. Hear my cry for mercy. Then he goes on. And he says, Lord, if you kept a record of sins, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but often, one time I was driving, and I had to drive all night long, and I thought about this verse, because about 2, 3, 4 in the morning, when you're driving all night long, what are you waiting for? Daylight. You are so tired, and so, tired of the darkness. You just want the daylight, because it will bring you fresh energy, fresh strength, it will bring you light. When he says, I wait for you more than watchmen wait for the morning, now that's a longing for the Lord to move. And so these kinds of prayers show us that prayer is relational. God wants to have a relationship with each one of us in prayer that is effectual. Something happens when we pray. Do you believe it? Folks, I want to tell you, when I read this article in the AARP magazine, a lot of people don't believe that prayer makes any difference. And most every world religion, people pray. But often people are praying to a statue, or they've got a ritual that they're going through. Hopefully the prayer is going to help make them have better favor with God. But this, in Christianity, it's different, folks. The Bible teaches us we have a relationship with God who loves us, cares for us, and he is powerful. And he moves to answer prayer. So now let's look at the next point. The next point here is that God reveals himself to us through prayer. This is very important, folks. And I think this is one of the greatest mistakes in our thinking about prayer. Prayer is not about us. Prayer is about him. Prayer is about him. He reveals himself to us through prayer, his nature and character, his faithfulness, his love, his steadfastness. Even when God doesn't answer the prayer that we've wanted, even when it takes years, or maybe we will never even see the answer to the prayer in our lifetime, doesn't matter. God has not changed. His nature and character are solid as a rock. If he doesn't answer, he has a good reason why he doesn't answer. If he doesn't answer, he has not changed. He is not diminished in his power. He is the Lord of hosts. I was reading this morning in my normal devotion saying, God's ways are inscrutable. You know what inscrutable means? Inscrutable means unfathomable, hard to understand, mysterious. God cannot be put in a box. So when we don't get our prayer answered, we need to be careful that we don't start thinking that God doesn't care or God's not strong or what kind of a God wouldn't answer that prayer. No, we focus on the nature and character of God, that even in the midst of unanswered prayer, we say, God is good. We sang it this morning. In everything, he's good. In everything, he's good. Prayer is about him. Many times, even Christianity today, in a lot of circles, Christianity is focused on us. It's all about me. What do I get out of it? You know, okay, God, I'll do this for you if you do this for me. That's a contract. Christianity is not a contract. It's a covenant. God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will love you with an everlasting love. When you pray, I hear you. Trust me even when you don't get the answer that you're hoping for. Trust me even when it takes a long time. Don't give up hope. I love you. I care for you. I'm a good God. I'm a good God. Okay, the third point. God invites us to bring our burdens to him. Folks, he wants us to bring our concerns to him. It's not a bother to him. You know, I've had people say, well, I only bring the important stuff to God. I got the rest. Have you ever thought that? I've thought that before. I thought, okay, God, I don't really need you on this one. I got it. You know, I've got a good brain. You know, I'll take care of this one. And then things don't go so well. I go, okay, sorry, Lord. You know, I'm bringing it back around. I need you. You know, I need you, Lord. He wants us to bring our burdens to him. And in Philippians 4:6, this is such a familiar passage, but it says, you know, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, bring your request to God. Bring your request to God. Let them be known to God. That's just practical Christian living, folks. It's normal. You know, and this whole thing about not being anxious for anything, I struggle with that. I struggle with worrying about things and trying to overplan things. I'm a very analytical person. And many times my mission leader says it's the paralysis of analysis. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you analyze it so much, it just goes around and around and around and around. You can never break out because you keep analyzing. And the Lord said, just stop analyzing. Just bring it to me. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. And you know, folks, when we bring our prayers to the Lord, we leave them with him. We often make a mistake of saying, I've prayed, now I'm going to make it happen. I've prayed, now I'm going to make sure it happens. No, we pray and we leave it to the Lord and we let him lead us and guide us into the timing and the way that he's working in our lives. One of my greatest mistakes with my own family members who are not believers is trying to make them believe. Have you ever done that? I went through a season in my life where I was always preaching at them, always preaching. And finally, they said, Camille, we don't want to spend time with you anymore. It bothers us that you do this. So now I just pray and I love them. I just love them. I want, when they were just here last week, my prayer was, Lord, help me have a good time and just enjoy them. Help us to laugh. Help us to love. Help us to just enjoy each other. And then, Lord, I place them in your hands. And what was so funny was after we had that conversation about prayer, that night, one of them was getting ready to leave early the next morning, and I hugged her goodbye. And as I put my arm around her, I wanted to say, I said, I'll be, and I stopped. What was I going to say? I'll be praying for you, right? So I literally had my arm around her, and I said, I'll be, and I stopped. And she laughed. She goes, you can say it. This is the agnostic sister. She says, you can say it. She says, praying for you. I said, yeah, that's right. I'll be praying for you. She said, Camille, I'll take it. I'll take it. But you know, it came out of 4 days of laughter, cooking together, walking together, going to Starbucks and taking a walk around a lake, hanging out together, talking about some of the painful things, you know, that have happened in the last years with my father's death and taking care of my mom. It came out of relationship that was real. And God is responsible for their lives. I just keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. But it's not my job to save them. I can't save them. Only God can save them. Only He can reveal Himself to them. But my job, pray, pray, pray. So I even asked my sister, one of the sisters, I said, have you ever had a time in your life where you felt close to God? And she said, no. And she said, I'm sorry, Camille. I said, you don't have to apologize to me. I'm just asking. You know what that did? That showed me how I can pray. Okay, Lord, if she's never felt close to you, I pray that you would begin to unlock her heart, remove the chains off of her mind, help her to see that you're real, make her hungry for you. So we can even ask questions to know how to pray for people, but we don't have to bang them over the head with it. Okay, the next point. God gives wisdom and understanding. It is in James 1:5. This is a famous scripture again. If we lack wisdom, let us ask God, who gives generously to everybody without reproach, and it will be given to him. Ask for wisdom. So many times we don't know what to do. I was praying with my good friend Susan last night about a situation. She represents the body of Christ over at Wake Tech, which I love, because she's working with internationals and she's working with a lot of young people. And it's like when we were praying, we said, Lord, we don't even know how to pray about this. Have you ever said that? Lord, I don't even know what to say. That's an okay prayer. That's okay. You say, Lord, I don't even know what to pray. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. That's okay. And you know what? If you really don't know what to pray, just pray scripture. That's all you have to do. Just pray scripture. Pray out of Ephesians and Colossians. Lord, I just pray that they would be filled with the knowledge of your will. You pray the prayers that Paul wrote to the churches. You can just pray scripture over people. Pray scriptures over situations. Many times I have no idea what to pray, and I just ask the Holy Spirit, pray through me. Pray through me. I have no idea what to pray. It's okay to say that. But the Lord promises He gives wisdom and understanding. Next point. Jesus lived a life of prayer. And Jesus is our example. Jesus is Son of God, Son of Man. He came and He took on human flesh, and He lived a life with the limitations of humanity, and He lived it, and He lived a life of prayer. And this scripture has always provoked me. It says, in the days of His flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death, and He was heard because of His reverence. Can you imagine? Even Jesus Himself had to go to the Lord in prayer with loud cries and tears. Isn't that something? It wasn't automatic. When He wanted to choose the 12 disciples, he went away all night and prayed. He would often go to lonely places and He would withdraw and pray. Folks, sometimes we have to just go out by ourselves and take a walk with God and pray. Alone. Alone, folks. And we just have to say, Lord, help me. Jesus did it Himself. Loud cries and tears. Jesus crying out to the Father. It's a mystery, the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but we see it in the life of Jesus. He also lived a life of prayer, and He's our model. The next one. Prayer is a battle. If anybody tells you that prayer is not a battle, they're not being truthful to you. Prayer is a battle. You have to fight to pray. How many of you have ever had the experience that when you start praying for somebody, you get sleepy? Yeah. Or all of a sudden you start to pray and the phone rings. Or you've got 1,000 things come through your mind about what you've got to do that day, and out comes your day timer. Your cell phone starts buzzing. The calendar's popping off on your cell phone. Everything you can imagine starts to distract. Prayer is a battle. And I love this scripture out of Colossians where it says, where Paul is writing, and he says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, he greets you. He is always struggling on your behalf in his prayers. Struggling on your behalf in his prayers. What does that look like? Do you have people in your life who are struggling for you in their prayers? I hope so. And I hope that you have people that you are struggling for in prayer. Because that's what God calls us to. We're called to the ministry of prayer and intercession for other people. And Paul said it was a battle. And what was he praying for? He was praying that these people would stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. I often pray that for young people in the faith. And I go, Lord, help them to stand strong. Put their roots down deep. Help them not to fall away from you. Give them hope. Lead them. Guide them. I wrestle. There are times when God calls us to wrestle in prayer for other people. And it is a battle. Prayer is not just easy. We engage, folks, think about this. We're engaging in conversation with the God of the universe. Think about that for a minute. The God of the universe is having a conversation with you. Is that not awesome? And in that conversation, you can ask him for what you want. You can plead with him. You can wrestle for other people. You can pour out your heart to him, and he loves you, and he enjoys the conversation. Amazing, the God of the universe. And folks, you can pray. You know, Paul says, pray without ceasing. Sometimes I'm just driving down the road. Just lift up prayers. Just don't close my eyes. I just lift up prayers. We are just, you know, as the Lord directs us, we can just lift up prayers. Other times we're on our faces. Other times we're on our knees. Or we're mount. I love to go pray. I love to go walking and praying. And Lord, just bring the thoughts to my mind and let me pray them back to you. Okay, the next one. God hears his people. That's out of Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. He hears the prayer of the righteous. Folks, what a wonderful confirming promise. The Lord hears. I was reading through my journal this morning. I don't journal as much as I used to, but I was catching up a little bit this morning and after a two-month gap, and I went back a couple pages, and I had written down a few months ago the scripture, and I had written down, the Lord sees me. The Lord sees me. Folks, the Lord sees you. He knows your situation. He knows where you've been disappointed in places of prayer. This morning during worship, I felt like the Lord was putting in my mind, there are people here that have been wounded because they haven't gotten answers to prayers. Maybe prayers for failing marriage. Prayers for people you prayed for healing, they didn't get healed. Prayers for, like, Lord, I just don't understand why that happened. I just don't understand. That's an honest statement. I don't understand. We can get wounded in those places, and we have to go back to the Lord and say, Father, I know you hear me. I know you heard me. Lord, I don't understand why it didn't work the way I prayed, but Lord, I know you care. I know you heard me. I prayed for my sister's marriage. She was married 23 years. It ended in divorce. I begged God to heal their marriage. But you know what, folks? God does not treat us like puppets. We have free wills. You're dealing with a marriage. You got two people. They both have a free will. If one doesn't want it, you cannot make it happen. And God will not automatically override people's free will, folks. So we have to understand, you know, and when you in the big picture of things, God is sovereign, but there's also the free will of individuals that we're dealing with, folks. And many times, things don't go the way we hope they would go, and there are reasons for that. Okay, the next one. Prayer makes a difference. Okay, we talked about that a lot. but this is my favorite scripture, one of my favorites, James 5. It says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. But you can't forget the first part. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Sometimes sin blocks prayer. Sometimes our sinfulness blocks what the Lord would like to do. We confess our sins, we pray for one another, and we also, the Lord promises us, the prayer of a righteous person is great in power. It makes a difference. How many of you know that just a few weeks ago there was a bicycle ride around the entire city of Raleigh? There was. Just a few weeks ago, David knew about it. There was a bicycle ride around the entire city of Raleigh on the Greenway trails to pray for the city of Raleigh. 30-mile ride. 20 people went and did that. I couldn't because I couldn't ride my bike at that time, but I want to do it next year. Now, folks, there's just so many creative ways to be able to pray for our city and for our communities. It's amazing. And to believe that we have power in our prayers. Do you know why a lot of people don't pray, even as Christians? Because they believe this lie. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. Why should I pray for the city? Why should I pray for the mayor? Why should I pray for the city council? It doesn't make any difference. Folks, that's not true. That's not true. Our prayers do make a difference. That's why the enemy doesn't want us to pray, because he knows that prayer does make a difference. Okay, prayer is worship. Now, we often forget this, but you know, in Revelations it says that when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, that's Jesus, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense. And what's in those what's in those bowls? The prayers of the saints. Do you know that every time you pray a prayer, you've put something in the bowl of incense that's before the throne of God? Think about that. Your prayers are in the bowls of incense. It's worship to Jesus. When we pray, it's worship to him. It's not a burden to him. It's a worship to him. Lord, I lift this to you. I lift this to you. I lift this to you. It's filling up the golden bowls of incense around the throne of God. Does that not get you excited? That's awesome. Okay, last. Prayer requires perseverance. Folks, this is the one I want us to finish with. Prayer requires perseverance. Folks, this is the song, passage here is in Luke 18. It's a parable that Jesus taught. And I'm going to just go have Will go over there. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. That's what I want to leave you with this morning. Always pray, don't lose heart. I'm going to say it to myself. Always pray, don't lose heart. And he says, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who came to the judge and said, give me justice against my adversary. So here's a judge, he doesn't care about people, but he's in the position of authority. She comes to him and says, give me justice. And he refused. But after a while he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so she will not beat me down by her continual coming. You know what I'm talking about? You ever had somebody, they just keep coming back, asking you, finally you just go, okay. You know, that's basically what the parable's saying. Then it goes on, and Jesus said, and the Lord said, hear what the righteous judge says. And then it says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. But then he ends with a very thought-provoking question. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Wow. What a thought-provoking question. He's making a comparison between the unjust judge and God. God is a God of justice. He hears, he answers. But how long it takes to answer, that's his business. It requires perseverance. And Jesus says, always pray, don't lose heart. Always pray, don't lose heart. And when we think about this, I was just writing down a few notes this morning. Folks, we live in a culture and society that's overwhelmed by the media. How many of you turn on the news and after about 10 minutes you say, I can't take it anymore? It's an earthquake. It's a rape. It's a murder. It's another riot in the streets. The migrants are trapped at sea. I'm a missionary, so I'm into the international news. You see this stuff, and after a while you just go, I can't take it anymore. Turn it off. Turn it off. But what do we do with that? What do we do as Christians, as believers? Folks, our prayers, they make a difference. They make a difference for our own families, our own communities, our own nation, other nations, for the lost. Our prayers make a difference, and we just have to keep reminding ourselves, Lord, you're the sovereign God. My job is to pray. Your job is to intervene. So when I see the migrants trapped at sea on board the boat with no food and water, I say, Lord, please let somebody be moved, some government leader be moved in their heart to let these people in. Would you please provide food and water for them? That's all I can, that's all I know to pray. But at least I've said something. At least I've done something. So we need to encourage our hearts and remember, and just put up the last slide there, and remember that we have tremendous opportunities to pray. And I got this off of the Focus on the Family website, but it was a great little guide, and I don't do this enough. It's one of my, I want to grow in this, but it's like taking our prayer life and making it bigger. A lot of times I talk about postage stamp prayers. Postage stamp prayers is God bless my mother, God bless my sister, God bless my brother, God bless my grandma, God bless me. You know, it's very tiny world, you know. But if we, as believers, we know we're called to pray for our family, God's family, our community, our nation, the world, for the helpless, hopeless, hurting, the lost, and for our own personal guidance. And so one way to do that is just to set out different days of the week where we actually have a different prayer focus so that we keep our prayer life big, not tiny. Because God's called us into a relationship with the God of the the God of the universe. So our job is to pray and trust, and God's job is to respond. I remember a few, this month marks the fifth anniversary of my father's death, which was probably one of the most difficult times of my life. And I was overseas. Do you remember when the volcano in Iceland exploded and people couldn't fly for, this was like 5 years ago, the volcano exploded in Iceland and all the flights were shut down. I was over there in Europe, couldn't fly. My mother had collapsed with a heart attack and kidney failure. My sister calls me, I'm in Budapest, and she said, Mom might die tonight. There was no way I could get home, no matter what I did. If I'd had $1 million, I couldn't have gotten home. And I remember it was a sleepless night. And I said, Lord, please have mercy. Let my mom live. Well, out of God's mercy, she lived. I wasn't able to get home for another month because the flights were so backed up. When I got home, my father, he had cancer, and he was very distressed because my mother was so sick and she was in a rehab hospital recovering. So my sisters and I started taking turns going down to take care of my dad. 2 days before it was my turn to go take care of my father, 2 days before it was my turn, I was sitting in my next to my bed having my devotions at 6:30 in the morning, and my phone rang, and my sister said, Dad is dead. I said, how? She said, he took his life. I fell on the ground, just screamed out to the Lord. It was one of the most devastating days of my life. I went and got on a plane a couple hours later to get down because I had to go tell my mother that her husband had just taken his life. And I didn't know if it would even make her have another heart attack. I got on the plane. What do you say to the Lord? I sat down. There was a couple, a Japanese couple next to me with a little baby. Little baby, but maybe 5-6 months old. That little baby held out its hand to me and took my finger and held on to it. And I just held on to that little baby, and I read the Psalms. I said, oh, God, please help me. Please help me. I landed. I drove to the rehab center, and I had to go tell my mother that my dad was dead and that he had taken his life. And then, as I began, we walked through all the funeral and everything. It was so painful. And then I began to look at her finances, and I was like, Lord, it's hopeless. There is no way she's going to make it. There is no way. And I went out for a long walk by myself, and all I said was this. These are the kinds of prayers, folks, that sometimes they are the most heartfelt. All I said was, God, have mercy on us. 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 That's all I said. I want to tell you that since that time happened, the Lord has been completely and utterly faithful. He removed debts that I thought would not be removed. He made a way for my mother to sell her home. She moved up here 3.5 years ago. He provided a wonderful reasonable place for her to live in a beautiful brand new building. He has been so utterly faithful. He has redeemed. I also prayed, I said, Lord, give my mom 5 good years to make up for the 5 years before that were so difficult that almost cost her her life. This, we're celebrating 5 years. She's had 5 great years. Folks, God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. God hears our prayers, but he doesn't remove us from every tribulation. He doesn't take heartache away from us, but he will be faithful to us. He loves you. He cares for you. Don't give up. What I'd like to do is I'd like Lauren to come back up. I want you to take your prayer request that you wrote down at the beginning of the service, and I want you, I'm not here to say let's pray magically that everything gets answered. That's not it, folks. I just want you to hold it before the Lord once again and say, God, here I am. I'm lifting it up to you. I love you. I trust you. Here it is, oh God. Folks, if you want to go and pray with somebody about your prayer request, please feel free to do that. If you want to come and kneel down here and just say, God, I'm just going to humble myself. I'm just going to kneel down here and just give you my prayer request once again. You do whatever the Lord tells you to do. You're free. I'm just going to let's worship and respond to the Lord. I'm just going to hand it back over to Jane. Jesus, we love you. 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 You're so good. You're so faithful. You're so kind. You're such a redeemer. You're such a provider. You're such a good God. And you love us and you give us the opportunity to love you back in prayer and to trust you with our lives. Lord, you know the prayer requests that are written on these papers. Lord, you see them all. Lord, we look to you. We look to you. We look to you. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah.